We've been in a series on talking about inheritance, what it means to have received tremendous blessing in the family of God, and we're going to continue with that tonight. Oh man, I was gonna embarrass some family members of mine, but I guess they left the room. I have some family in town, just to let you guys know. If you see a guy that kind of looks like me and sounds like me, it's probably my brother, Jeremiah. I think he's in the daycare in the nursery now. He's got a little guy named Levi, who's really awesome. And he's got a really sweet wife named Abigail. They're visiting right now from Louisiana. Nobody even cheered for that. Okay. Just a reminder that I'm the only one from there. Are you originally from there? Okay, all right, but hey, we both know that place. All right, take some time to welcome them, say hi to them. They're here for a few weeks, and just specifically, not only to spend time with us, but to just be a part of what God's doing in our midst as they're just praying through for themselves as a family, whether or not they would be even possibly starting a church way back in the middle of the woods in Louisiana. So, if you see them, bless them, okay? We've been in a series on inheritance, and I wanna try to accomplish two things tonight, okay? Two things. I think we can do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. First thing is, I want to spend a few minutes to just refresh us on where we've been thus far in this series, on some of the things that we've talked about. You can obviously go back online and listen to the sermons that have previously been shared at thelight.org, okay? But I feel like it's just a good time in the series to remind us of some things, perhaps that we've already forgotten, some things that I think God wants to highlight. And I want to start with this passage that we've begun this series with, Ephesians 1:18. And Paul, he prays this prayer. He prays this prayer for the church at Ephesians, and I think it's a prayer for us as well. He says, "I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, and the riches of your glorious inheritance in his holy saints." And you got an NIV? Okay, mine says in his holy people, in the saints, okay? And it continues, okay? But, you know, I really felt like the Lord was saying that just as Paul prayed this prayer for the early church, this prayer is for us as well. And there's something significant here, which is that in this prayer, Paul is praying that they would realize what they already have. Because until we realize what we already have, what God has given us freely through the Son, what Jesus has accomplished on our behalf and brought us into with the with in mind that he wants to share that with us, until we realize that, we won't receive it and we won't begin to live in it. And the truth is that God, through Jesus, has won things for you now. He's won things on your behalf that he wants you to receive and to enjoy. Do you believe that? And so I believe that ignorance is not bliss. When it comes to the kingdom of God, the family of God, and the things of God, the inheritance of God that he has won for his children. And, you know, I already know God has been folding this. He's bringing an awareness to us. And, you know, we can't pray this prayer too much. God, continue to bring us the awareness of what we have in you. So I want to refresh us just a little bit. In Jesus' day, there was this common question that was presented to the rabbis, and it was presented to Jesus, and it was the question of, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to receive eternal life? That was a common, important question of the day, and Jesus, knowing what they needed, he said this in John 17. He says, Now this is eternal life, that they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We talked about at the beginning of this series that the inheritance that we've received, it's not primarily stuff. It's not primarily some possessions. It's a person. The inheritance that we receive is the person of Jesus Christ, and through him, the Father and the Holy Spirit. And in that way, the best thing that we've been given through God is actually the family of God. We have been brought into relationship. When we talk about this thing not being about religion, but about relationship, that's what we're talking about. It's about a family that we've been brought into. Your inheritance starts and ends with relationship with God and now being a part of the family of God. I want to just remind you of this definition, inheritance, okay? Not a word that we perhaps are often familiar with today. Maybe some of you are. I don't know what the connotations are for you. But inheritance, as it was understood in that time, is something that's passed down through a family, and it is given upon the death of a family member. Okay, that's sort of the base understanding of inheritance. But another understanding of inheritance is inheritance as an irrevocable gift. An irrevocable gift, something given that can't be taken back. And I want to say that what we've received in God actually comes through both of those definitions, okay? And the reason we know that our inheritance starts now is because the death that brought us into the family has already occurred. That's what we're celebrating when we celebrate, when we take communion. We're recognizing that Jesus, when he gave his life, it was his death that brought us into his family, that brought about the ability to receive the inheritance of God. Are you with me? Is that good news? Okay. So, this inheritance, it starts and it ends with the family of God and us being brought into that. You know how we were brought into that? We were brought into it through this amazing word called adoption. That's how we get into the family of God. We've been adopted in. We've been adopted in. Galatians 4 says this. But when this set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. The only way that you get this inheritance is to be brought into the family that the inheritance is for. And that was God's plan. That was his desire. That's what he wanted. That's what he was doing from the beginning. And that's what he ultimately accomplished through Jesus. You've been brought into the family. Now you are official. You are officially a son. You are officially a daughter. You're not some half sibling. You are fully a part of the family of God, and as part of the family of God, you are a recipient of all that Jesus has won for you. Do you believe that? You have rights in this family, not because you did something, but because Jesus did something. So you're entitled to something in this family. Do you know that? You have entitlement in this family, but I don't want you to misunderstand that. Your entitlement only comes because of what Jesus did for you. Not because you deserved it, but because he loved you. That's the gospel. But I do believe that God wants us to take hold of what he's already given us. You ever given a gift to somebody? And what's in your heart when you give a gift? Something you really want people to, you really want someone to enjoy that gift. Well, you want them to open it, right? And you know, there's that moment that can be a very sort of tenuous moment where you're not sure if they're going to like the gift. They're not sure if they're going to want this thing. You know, you shopped really hard for them. And there's nothing more disappointing than somebody opening a present and you not getting the reaction that you wanted, right? That's probably, yeah, some of you, that's the laughter of, I've been there, that happened. Maybe you were on the other end of that. You tried your best, to pretend that you enjoyed that thing, that sweater, that tie, I don't know, but you didn't. And I think sometimes that's what it's like for us with God. God said, I'm giving you this. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to receive it. I want you to believe that it's actually for you because I love you and this is who you are in my family now. You're qualified to receive this. And sometimes we're like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready for that. I don't know if I can get pumped up about this. I don't know if it's really for me. It's too good. I don't know. Whatever it is, God say, I want you to open it. I want you to receive it. It's my inheritance. Few other things here, okay? And I have something new. Something new today, I promise. We talked about the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit. I just want to remind us, you know, the Holy Spirit is the way that we experience the family of God. It's by the Holy Spirit that you get to know the Father. It's by the Holy Spirit that you get to know what Jesus is like. No other way. Do you realize that? And in fact, in that way, the Holy Spirit, God knew we need His Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, it says in Ephesians 1, the Holy Spirit is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is the beginning of our inheritance. It's the beginning of our ability to know what God's like. It's the beginning of us being able to enjoy all the things that God has for us in His household. The Holy Spirit, it says in Romans 8, it's by the Holy Spirit that we're able to call Him Abba, Father, which I believe is it's saying that it's the Spirit that allows us to see God for who He really is as a good Father. Jesus said, pray this way, pray Father, but we need the Holy Spirit to understand that that's truly who He is. Conversely, Jesus said, it's better that I go because I'm going to send a helper, and the helper is going to lead you into all truth. You know, it's amazing because anything that we get, anything that we receive, anything that we understand of God, you know, we understand it. We understand it by the Holy Spirit, by His grace, breathing on our lives, breathing on our heart, bringing understanding to this book. You don't get it any other way. So I hope you hear that and you realize we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to be able to interact with God. And He so wants us to be able to. So He says, I'm pouring out my Spirit into all flesh. I'm putting my Spirit in you. If you're His, you have the Spirit of God residing in you. 24/7 access. 24/7 help, a 24/7 teacher to teach you what God's like, to bring you into experience of Him. That's the Holy Spirit. We talked about how we received the kingdom, which is that we've been brought into this family, and as we've been brought into this family, we've been brought into a way of living, a way of seeing, a way of understanding. We've been brought into a new reality as it applies to how we live here and now. And I'm just going to go through quickly, you know, the things that it starts with things like forgiveness, and it starts with things like mercy, and it starts with things like grace. And when we enter in and we receive those things. That's how we are able to enter into the family of God. We receive the forgiveness of God, but then we receive the mercy of God, not getting what we deserve, and then we receive the grace of God on top of that, getting what we didn't deserve. That's what God did when He lavished His love on us. And because of that, when we receive this kingdom, we receive the responsibility. And that responsibility is to give in the same manner we've received. So the inheritance that we have, what we've received of God and what we are receiving of God, we're supposed to give it away. See, so then you realize it's really important that I get what I have and I receive it because it's not just for me. For those around me. And until we receive it, we won't have it to give. Until you understand God's grace, and I'm not sure that we can understand it fully, okay? We are in the process of understanding it. But as you receive it and as God unfolds it anew, guess what? You have more to give. And guess what? This inheritance is limitless. You're not going to run out. You can't run out. And when you give it, actually, you get it back. Isn't it interesting how that works? When you give away what you have, you get more. That's the kingdom of God. That's fun stuff. So Jesus, in that he shared his kingdom, he's brought us into in a kingdom we have inherited, a kingdom, a way of thinking, a way of seeing, a new reality. And that goes with you wherever you go, or it should. The last thing is we received authority. Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. He said, so you go. Which is to say, to imply, I'm sharing it with you. You have me, so you have my authority. We talked about last week, it's Jesus' victory on our behalf has won our victory. And he wants to share his victory with us. And as he shares his victory with us, he wants us to share the victory that we've received with the people around us. We do that by giving it away. What we've received of God, the victories we've received of God, God wants us to give those away, to pray even for others to have that same victory in their life. That's why we share testimony. The testimony is part of us sharing what we've received, sharing what God has accomplished in our lives, sharing the authority, the reality of that statement, all authority, and the way that it's bared fruit in our life. So we're meant to share this. So I want to follow up with that tonight with one simple thing, okay? Last week we talked about how we're meant to share that with each other, and in fact sharing the inheritance is part of the way that it grows in the kingdom of God. And we talked about how inheritance is the link between generations. You guys remember that? Inheritance is the link between generations, okay? I want to read a story tonight that I think will give us a picture of why it's important to not only share with each other, but to tap into the inheritance that God has unfolded with those that have come before us. If inheritance is a link between generations, okay, how many of you know we're kind of on this side of the generations. We're on the younger side of the generations, okay? But God wants to link us with those that have come before us. Do you realize that? So, how does he do that? I think that means that we're not just gathering and gleaning from each other, but we're actually asking God to link us with those who've come before us and what he's given them that we might have it too. Are you with me? So there's an inheritance for us, and it's meant to be shared, and part of the way it's shared is when the younger generation taps into what the older generation has gotten from God. Another way of putting that, it's shared when the older generation looks to the younger generation and says, here you go. Here's what we've gotten. Here's the victory that we received. Here's what God has revealed to us about himself. We want you to have it. I want to talk about how we uncover the inheritance that's come before us, all right? Let's read a passage real quick. Stick with me, all right? I'm going to wrap this up in the near future, I promise. The passage is in Genesis 26. Genesis 26. It's a story about Isaac, okay? Isaac, the son of Abraham. And this is a really interesting story, okay? God has moved in Abraham's life, and now God is moving in Isaac's life. Again, the inheritance is passed through a family line. The promise that God gave Abraham is the promise that he continued through his son, and he continues through his son, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he continues that through the nation of Israel. And so when the nation of Israel relates to God, they relate to God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they were aware that everything that they have, even the relationship that they have, that it came through an inheritance. Okay? So Isaac, all right? Isaac has received part of this inheritance, this lineage that he's been brought into, where God is interacting with his family. And it says this in Genesis 26, the beginning of 26. It says, now there was a famine in the land. Say famine. All right. 10 of you are awake. Besides the previous famine in Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech. Say Abimelech. King, if I have to say it, I might as well have you guys say it too. King of the Philistines and Gerar. I don't know if that's how you say it. Just go with me, okay? Gerar. Okay. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's like history repeating itself. It's like, this sounds like a conversation you had with my dad. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. Except the opposite. He didn't say go. He said stay. All right. For to you and your descendants, I will give all these lands, and I will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. So the promise that started with his dad. He's saying you're receiving the same promise. It's part of your inheritance. Okay? I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and will give them all these lands, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. Isaac stayed there. Fast forward to verse 12. It says this. It says, Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold, because the Lord blessed him. That's a good thing. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So the people who occupied that land, they didn't like him very much. Why? Because he was prospering. Why was he prospering? Because God was with him. So, all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped them up, filling them with earth. This important thing happens here, okay? Isaac has received because of his father and because of the promise that God has made with his father. And it's through that promise that he's begun to be blessed, he's begun to flourish. Well, people didn't like that. And what did they do? The first thing they did is they cut off part of what Isaac received through his father. And I want to say, I believe that one of the things that has happened for our generation is we have been disconnected with what God has done in the past. Sometimes it might be just the thought in our minds that says, you know what? God is doing something brand new. And we might get excited about that and say, God, this is amazing. You know, you're doing this new thing. Guess what? He's not really doing something new, because it's all tied to what he's already been doing. Yes, technically, he is doing new things, okay? But it's all tied to what he has already done. And I believe the enemy is trying to sever what God has previously done and what he's done through those that have come before us and our awareness of that. And if he can do that, then guess what? We miss out on their hard work that God wants to give us. That's the inheritance. The inheritance is something that somebody else earned, and it was given to you. Are you with me? So, the strategy of the enemy through the Philistines here was, we're going to bury the wells that Abraham dug so that his son can't enjoy them. That may not sound like a big deal to you, but it was kind of a big deal back then. They couldn't just go to the grocery store to get the water if the wells were buried. It's not how it works. The well is where life is. The well is where they're provided for. The well is the continuation of what God did through Abraham being shared with Isaac. So, it goes on. It says, then Abimelech said to Isaac, move away from us. You've become too powerful for us. They didn't want anything to do with them. So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar. So he said, you know, I'm going to try and stay where God told me to stay. So I'm going to go down to the valley. And that's where he settled. It says, Isaac reopened the wells. Pay attention to this. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. That's the verse I want to just camp on for a minute. So Isaac, he stayed in the land, he moved down to the valley. And what did he do? I said, we need water. We're not gonna start new wells. We're not gonna dig new wells. We're gonna uncover the ones that have been buried. We're gonna uncover the ones that have been buried because this didn't start with us. So it doesn't make sense to try and make it start with us. We're going to go back to what God has already done and what has been given to us through those that have come before us. We're going to reconnect with what's already happened. Our story, the time and place we find ourselves, what God is doing here, it's not in a bubble. It's intricately connected to what he's doing around our city, what he's been doing in this city for a long time, what he's been doing in the church for a long time. Do you understand that? And I believe there's a benefit for us if we will recognize it and tap into it appropriately. Uncover what's come before us. That takes humility, you know. It takes understanding. The move of God in our midst, it's not something new. It's not just something that came out of nowhere. No. God, you have brought us into what you've been doing since the beginning. I want to talk about a few ways that we uncover this inheritance that's actually been earned for us by those that have come before us. One of the ways that we see it here in this passage is simply that Isaac went and he had to search out the wells that his father dug. They were buried. He couldn't see them. He had to go find them. He had to go looking for them. I don't know how he knew. Maybe it was because they were his father's wells and he had some kind of inside information, but he still had to go find them and he had to uncover them. He searched them out. And I believe in the same way, God is calling us to search out what he has already been doing. I believe God is calling us to search out those that have come before us, that have left a legacy, that have left an inheritance through their obedience to him. You know, we're not completely removed from that. But I wonder, are we aware and are we looking for the things of God that have come before us and receiving those things, learning from people and moments and experiences that came prior to us. The second thing that Isaac does here that's really important, he doesn't just glean from what his dad did, but he honors what his dad did. He honors what his dad did by naming the wells the same name. That might not seem that significant, but I think it is. You know, we're not starting new. And the sooner that we honor and acknowledge and give credit and give respect to those that have come before us and what God's done previously, the sooner we realize that. there's a humility that needs to happen on our part as young people to say, God, thank you for those that paved the way. We didn't come up with these ideas. You did, and you unfolded them, and you've given them to us, not in a bubble, but you've given them to us through people that have come before us who are obedient to you. And we honor those people. How do we honor them? I think one of the things we can do is, if there are people in your life that have come before you, that have poured into you, that have given something of their inheritance for your benefit, thank them. Let them know that you're not just assuming it. You're not taking it for granted. Okay? Thank you. You appreciate them. You appreciate their obedience. It's not just the way it's supposed to be. See, because actually, you know, there's a problem on both sides. And often those that have come before haven't seen the value in sharing what they have in passing it on and becoming fathers and mothers to the next generation. There's a void of that. But I think the sooner that we say we value that and we honor that and we want that, you know what? I think some people are going to realize, oh, I have something to give and I want to share it with you. See, I believe the older generation in some ways, and just my best guess, okay? I believe that perhaps the older generation thinks that we don't want what they have. That we're going to figure out on our own. That we don't necessarily value the obedience that they've had, the walk that they have. And obviously that's not true. So the sooner we honor, the sooner we are conveying that we value what you've been through and what God has done for you. I just want to share a few of those people really that have impacted this church, that have impacted what God has done here. And I want to share them partly because maybe you don't feel like you have an inheritance to tap into from a previous generation, and maybe these are people that could be a resource for you, okay? There's a guy by the name of John Wimber, all right? This is just my list, okay? I'm sure it's different for all of you, but there's a guy by the name of John Wimber. I like him partly because of his first name, but way more than that. He left a legacy that so many have connected with. He was a father in the church. He set out to really sort of remove the mystery of the things of God and to help the church be equipped. He said, you know, it's not just for a few, it's for everyone. He wrote a book called Everyone Gets to Play. Because when he came to the Lord, he started reading his Bible and he started believing, wow, these are amazing things. All right, let's go do it. And then somebody told him, no, that was for then. And he's like, what? Well, what do we get to do now? You just read the Bible and you behave. That's what you get to do. He's like, wow, that sounds like a raw deal. But over time, God showed him, no, you're invited into this story and the totality of it. And he shared that with people. And you know what? When you hear that here, that's part of why. Because I heard it there first. And you know what? I took those words, and that was the first time I heard somebody say, you can have everything that Jesus promised in here. It wasn't just for the disciples, and somewhere down the line it got cut off, and now, you know, you just have to read the Bible and behave. That's what you get. So if you haven't heard of John Wimber, you haven't heard his teaching, I would encourage you, go check him out. He started a movement called the Vineyard Church Movement. It's still around today. He started a legacy, I think, of people in this country in particular believing that Jesus still wants to do miracles. He still wants to set people free. Still wants to move in mighty ways, and he wants to do it through all of us. A few other people in that same line, a guy by the name of Bill Johnson, he pastors a church in Redding, California called Bethel Church. He's been really pivotal in what God's done here. I believe he's a father among fathers, and I had a chance to go there in last November and see firsthand the impact that they've had on the world, the nations, over 40 different countries, leaders from over 40 different countries, all showing up in this little place in Northern California because they've been blessed and have been impacted by what God's done through that church and through all the people that came before them. There's a movement called the Jesus People Movement. If you've never heard of the Jesus People Movement, you've got to go look it up. Actually, it was one of the greatest moves of God in our country, and it happened in the 60s with a bunch of hippies and people that didn't want anything to do with the church. And guess what? Jesus loves being around those kind of people. And so he showed up, and people started getting radically saved. And actually, most of the senior leaders that are moving in the church today came out of that movement. Wow. If God doesn't have a plan, he has a plan, right? It's pretty amazing. It was on the cover of Time magazine because the nation's, news outlets in our country couldn't help but take notice of what was happening. They were confused by it completely. And I remember reading about that movement. They didn't teach that movement in my seminary class. And I'm like, why didn't we learn about this? The Jesus People Movement, it's incredible. A little outside of the box. Kind of like us. And I believe God is going to do the same thing in our generation. Is doing the same thing in our generation. So the Jesus People Movement. All right, a few other things. Two other people that have been really pivotal for my walk, and I believe in this church as well. A guy by the name of Todd White. He's just crazy. Look him up. He's got beautiful hair. And he just loves the Lord. And actually, a guy that brought him to the Lord and brought him out of 20 years of drug addiction, this guy by the name of Dan Moeller. They're right up the road from us in Pennsylvania. And it's incredible. Again, that same kind of thing of, if you read it in your Bible, it's for you. It's for us. It's for normal people. You know, all those people are outside of this place. I'm going to wrap up with this. But there are tremendous amounts of people in our city, okay? I don't want you to think that this is just about some big name somewhere, okay? It's amazing how God links us with people and hearts all over the place. But God is doing the same thing in our city. We've been praying for quite some time. God, link us with the generations. Link us with those who come before us who've been walking with you way longer. Longer than we've even been alive. That's a prayer of this church. We don't want to just be a group of young people, even though we love young people. You know, I brag about our median age range being something like 23, okay? Because most churches don't have that. But there's something that we need. And it's in this city, and God is answering that prayer and linking us with people in this city. I want you to know that. Convergence is part of that. What we're a part of in Convergence is actually, I was in a room 2 weeks ago with people like 20 or 30 years, maybe even more than that, older than me. I'm thinking, how did I end up here? It's an answer to that prayer. We've been invited to be a part of what's happening in our city, and I believe that God is linking us to the generation ahead of us in Baltimore. I just have to tell you about one more person. Her name is Nan. Some of you know about Nan. Nan is this fiery 90-year-old lady who is just, I mean, she would put some of us to shame with the energy that she has at her age. And I'm thinking, I need 2 cups of coffee a day just to, you know, get through. She's amazing, all right? People like that who have sowed into us and are continuing to do so. I want to wrap up, and I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to search out. Search out the inheritance that is around you with those that are older and wiser and have something to give of God. And I want to encourage you to honor. I want to encourage you to honor those that have come before you. To thank them. Maybe even to tap into that more if you need to. To ask. Say, I want to receive some of that. Let's pray.